Big Money Kratom.
Eddie Kratom.
Big Money Kratom.
This is the Freedom Feed, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio. Don't turn down the feed. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit. Keep a sinful to stay out of your head. That really messed my flow up. Can you feel it, Michael W. Yeah. Can you feel it,
well,
James?
Well, I felt it until Jason turned down the thing. I like your voice, though. It sounds like...
And the Freedom Beans is brought to you by the Pipcot New Government License. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. That includes Bill Pullman. You can learn more at Pipcot.org.
I'm just going to take off my clothes and dance on national television.
It's covered by the...
Yeah.
This allows use and allegedly...
Yeah.
So I listened to an interesting...
My wife went in the other room to go sleep, and I invited her to sleep in here, and she's like, I can't sleep in there. You have to be loud and boisterous to be on the radio. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. So I heard an interesting podcast today. To say the least. Mention his name anymore? Is that a thing? Is he still who cannot be named?
What are his initials?
CC? Yeah.
Yeah, you can talk about Chris Cantwell and what a dork he is and how when he dies, I will go drop a 40 of urine on his grave in his honor.
So he posted that.
May cause triggering.
I will bury him with my own shovel.
So he wrote
hardcore self-defense.
He wrote an article and kind of read it on his little behind the paywall podcast, I guess. It's really just like an audio recording.
He has a paywall podcast?
Yeah, he has a podcast behind the paywall.
That should be the name of a really crappy band, the Payroll Podcast.
Well, they're not
Payroll Podcast.
There just happens to be
It'd be like a grindcore band or something.
I found an interesting YouTube channel called Behind the Paywall where it just does nothing but releases Cantwell's podcast from behind the paywall. And the slogan of the channel is we go behind the paywall so you don't have to.
Really?
Wait, there's a site that does that? What's the site called?
It's called Behind the Paywall, and it's just one video right now, and it's of the article that I'm about to talk about, where he advocates for domestic violence because, you know, it'll be allowed in this libertarian social order. And
Wait a minute, because
you have to hold your kid down to beat him, and you don't have to hold your wife down to beat her. It's not a violation of the non-Christian principle or something.
What?
It's ridiculous. Yes.
I think you should put Cantwell behind the paywall where you pay money to shock his genitals.
I think that could be a paywall I could support.
I think it's immoral to punch Nazis for their free speech, no matter how reprehensible. But I think that there's a libertarian indulgence. I think you can punch Chris Cantwell for what he says.
I love how you heard it here first, folks.
I love how on one hand he'll say like, "Oh, you should never punch Nazis. It's a terrible thing to do." But punching your girlfriend, it's okay.
Yeah.
Seems legit.
This guy's crazy.
I'm putting out a libertarian fatwa on him. It's okay to punch him. It's a fatwa.
So
no laughs. Yeah, can you give me some laughs on that, guys?
This is crazy.
I thought you were being serious.
What is this?
Yeah, I'm registering the domain
now. Okay,
punch
Cat, yeah.
Shock Cantwell's genitals.
Libertarian fat one, Cantwell.org.
We'll donate the money to charity, not one of his choice.
One of his choice.
A women's shelter.
That's good.
Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, because if it's one of his choice, that's it. Donate it to Planned Parenthood.
No. We'll start a fund for women to get abortions, but only if they had sex with Chris Cantwell.
Yeah. that would be a great charity. Yeah,
I think
that we would get like a total of five. No, not even five.
I'd consider donating to it if Planned Parenthood of Keene puts out a flyer. A slogan underneath their banner that says this machine kills fascists.
Now, if you could go back and abort baby Cantwell's baby, would you do it? If you had a time machine that goes into the future to do that.
I don't think I'd need a time machine.
I just invited William Grigg to come onto the show, but I forgot what shows like you are like. I don't know if I should invite him on tonight. But he's one of those respectable libertarians, not like us. Yeah.
Does he wear a bow tie and everything?
No, he's actually pretty down to earth. He lives in Idaho. He does the Pro Libertate blog, and he does the Freedom Zealot podcast, and he is, he was doing, like, cop blocking kind of stuff before the guys in cop block were out of diapers. He's been doing it for, like, 20 years or something, so...
Nice. Back with his old VHS camcorder.
Yeah, like he's one of the guys that used to carry a VHS camcorder in his car for cop blocking.
And that's awesome.
Tea Party used to do that too. Yep,
it's pretty rad.
Yep. So I want to talk about pronouns, the proper use of pronouns, and I'm not talking
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, you're triggering me. Where's the "you're triggering me" one? Yeah.
May cause triggering.
Always stroke head to tail. Do give me more of your unsolicited advice.
That's me telling me that. That's funny. All right. So today we Jim made a mistake. No, I misunderstood Jim. What was it? Explain it, Jim.
So you posted a picture of yourself and a woman. I don't know who this woman is. You do.
Rachel.
And you said this, and this could be Velushka, who was our new co-host, Velushka Raptor, right? No, mm-hmm. Rex, Flaptosaurus Rex, or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's one of those dinosaurs. And you said that, hey, this looks like it could be your mother. And I was like, oh, confirmed time traveler. And I thought it was pretty clear that I was
I said, what? What are you talking about?
Because it does look like Velushka. She did look like Velushka. And I was like, oh, confirmed time traveler. And some people got it, I guess.
I said, you I
liked
don't get it.
You liked it. You liked that comment and then went, I don't know what that is.
I said, I'm intrigued, but wish to subscribe to your explanation.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so the problem, and your explanation was something like, well, I think it's obvious that she traveled back in time. And my problem with that was you didn't say whether the she was Velushka or Rachel. And this comes down to one of my pet peeves and what I have...
They're all the same.
I have determined... I also didn't get that you were saying that because I don't think they look that much alike, but I do think she looks... I think Rachel looks like she could be Velushka's mother. So... But I don't think they look enough alike. I think they look enough alike that if Velushka had that picture in her home, people would say, oh, is this your mom?
You know, allegedly. So.
But I don't think it looks that much like her. But
see, I'm not as familiar with Velushka or Rachel as you are, so...
I don't know, they got similar eyebrows.
Have you done a show with Velushka yet?
Not yet, no.
You have James,
I'm sure it's
right?
on the horizon.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you do every show with Velushka, James? Aren't you both on the same night every week?
For a couple weeks there.
Yeah.
But I don't think
it's switching.
It's switching up.
Yeah, it's switching.
Right. Yeah, I was supposed to be on last week with her, and then I noticed there was like four other fiends, including you, and I was like, or not including you, and I was like, oh no. Let's move it to the day where it's just you and Steve Miller. Yep, and I was like, let's just do that.
A good show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is
claustrophobic.
before we get into the news of the day, which we almost never do and probably shouldn't do anyway. But so I've noticed that most problems with communication are failure to properly define a pronoun, not in the sense of I need to be one of 17 pronouns and you have to call me them, call me them or something.
My preferred pronoun is cuck.
Yeah, there you go.
And cuck self.
But the huge problem with understanding what people are saying, especially online and especially stuff that's written quickly, is when people don't define what it is or what they are or who she is in something where there's more than one she. That's it, man.
Allow me to direct you to the complaint department.
There you go. I know, right? He's on against me there.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, another confusion that happened today. So I was talking with this programmer about making this libertarian program. And he said to me, you know, it was something that sending a message on this system would cost a small amount of the coin in this system. And he sent me this list of questions. His first question was, shouldn't free speech be free? You know, meaning, why are you charging to use this system that costs money to run? What do you guys infer from that?
Free speech is not free in terms of monetary value. If I want to go and speak on national television, I gotta pay money for that one. I mean, you gotta pay money for your platform.
I got $3 when I stripped on C-SPAN.
Nice.
So you gotta get paid.
Would you assume
put directly into the thong?
Would you assume that someone might be socialist if they said free speech should be free, meaning I shouldn't have to pay to use your system?
Yes. It's almost like the fairness doctrine, right? Where the fairness doctrine of the 80s were...
Well, the anybody fairness doctrine who, didn't even involve money, though. Well, it did, because, it involved other people's time. Yeah.
Well, I'd have to understand what you were even really talking about to begin with.
It's something I'm talking about that's not public yet, but let me use substitution for something that would have the same values. I'm inventing a new telephone system... And it'll cost a small amount per call to use. And if someone said, shouldn't free speech be free, you'd think they're a socialist, right?
Yes. Yeah, I could see that.
My cell phone should be free. Get that Obama phone.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Important topic, and I can't believe people don't understand the difference between gratis versus libre. You guys heard that saying?
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's the problem this guy's happening, and I've gone back and forth with him in several emails. I'm not going to read his emails; it would make him really mad. But I'm gonna paraphrase him. Basically, he's saying, "Well, you know, I'm not a free software nut like Richard Stallman, but I understand that, you know, and I understand that people need to get paid, but there's like so many problems with that saying right
now." Wait a minute. He doesn't know what Richard Stallman's talking about at all, then.
Right. Exactly.
He doesn't, he doesn't even know who Richard Stallman is. I bet he's just using his name as a buzzword or something.
He does, but he doesn't know the main phrase associated with Richard Stallman, which is think free as in speech, not free speech, not as in free beer.
Yeah.
That slogan sums up the phrase gratis versus libre. Gratis means free, libre means freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet he probably doesn't even know that Richard Stallman picks and eats his own foot.
Right.
I bet and he doesn't even know that. That's the other
important thing about that.
Oh, no, come on. That
is... Do you not know about this, James?
You don't need to just go around and say that to discredit the guy or something.
It's true.
No, no, I'm not trying to discredit him. Like, I really have a lot of respect for him, but at the same time, it's kind of hard to when he's picking and eating his foot.
You don't need to watch that kind of stuff.
Do you know? Do you not know about
this? Don't tell me what to do.
James. Hang on, Jim.
I'm not watching the video. You're not going to make me watch the video. It's not happening.
Well, there's a video of Richard Stallman on the dais at a conference in front of 200 or 400 people. I forget. But it's a lecture hall in a university. Him and a couple other people are up on stage. And this is like filmed on VHS video. It's like 15 years ago. It's really grainy video. And it's, if it was now, there'd be like 200 cell phone videos kind of high def of it. But Richard Stallman was wearing sandals and was talking. No?
Oh, no, he was wearing shoes. He was wearing shoes. He was stand up and talking, and then he opened it up to Q&A.
No.
He sat down. He pulled the shoe off, took his black sock off, and started picking his feet while the people were talking to him. And then, after he finished his point, and the guy started asking him a follow up question.
He put it
in his mouth and was chewing for a whole minute, just chewing.
Chewing on a toenail or something.
It's like toe skin, probably. It's the video is called Richard Stallman eats something from his foot, and everyone right now. Oh, hang on, let me try. Oh, by the way, so last night we tried an experiment of saying "Okay, Google," and then saying things. And somebody sent me a screenshot of what I said and what it did to his phone. I said, "Okay, Google, find pirate radio equipment in my area." And someone sent me a screenshot of his phone searching that phrase after "Okay, Google" opened up. So I'm going to say this. "Okay, Google, YouTube, Richard Stallman eats something from his foot." So whether you're not, you can actually train your phone to only respond to your voice, but most people don't. So let me say it again with no talking or anything. "Okay, Google, YouTube video, Richard Stallman eats something off his foot." Somebody in Radio Land's phone is showing them that video right now. I like that. We don't have to say it anymore. We can just say
http://youtube.com/V=8V2.
All right, so the name of tonight's show, give me silence while I say tonight's show title. It's "Okay, Google, send $50 to the Freedom Fiends." That's the title of the show. You can laugh now, James.
Okay. Right. I muted my mic just to be sure.
Good job not making noise, though. You didn't have to be that quiet. All right.
You needed to make sure.
YouTube. Google, send $50 to the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. All right.
Meow. Meow.
So read some of this. We're almost going to the break. So when we get back, James Weeks will read a little bit of the difference of crotches versus Libre. But if you guys have any stories or thoughts on this real quick, what are they? Of why it's wrong of someone saying, but, confusing the two.
Well, because people need to be able to be paid for their work, for starters.
Communist. I'm kidding. We'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom is free.
It costs 0.25 BTC.
Well. I'm Michael Dean, talking to Jim Jesus.
Hi, Jim Jesus.
Hi.
And we also have James Weeks.
Hello.
Hi, James. Who's also known as the guy who got naked on national television on C-SPAN.
That's true. I am known as that guy.
To the point where the image for tonight's show on the blog post is going to be, I went to one of those make your own gravestone sites and made a tombstone that says James Weeks the second, 1988 to 2087. He got naked on national television. I gave you a good, healthy 99 years. It was the maximum it would allow me.
So. That's a decent amount of years.
Yep. So that's what you're going to... And I wanted to say, and he did other cool stuff, too, as an asterisk, but there wasn't room for it, and they didn't have the asterisk character. But I think...
Can't put an asterisk on the gravestone, huh?
Sticker.
Allegedly.
All right, so James Weeks is going to explain to you the difference between free beer and free speech, and he will strip for beer, but that makes the beer, and that doesn't make it free.
No, that's exact opposite of free.
He'll give you an example of, he'll do some interpretive dancing naked to demonstrate freedom for beer. We'll dance for beer. All right.
A big problem in the English language is we use the same word for both things. For free speech and free beer.
It's one of the only languages that does that.
Yeah, so I guess it confuses people who don't have more than two brain cells to rub together. I think America's the only free country in the world.
You know what's something about America? This is kind of weird, is that statistics in America, when they say, you know, seven people have stripped naked on TV. They're only giving the statistics for America. But most countries, when they give the statistics for the world, unless they specify otherwise for the country. Mm-hmm. That's because everyone in America thinks that
America's the only thing
worth stripping on. So, James, will you read some of this, please? First part of Gratis versus Libre page on Wikipedia.
Yeah, let's see here.
Which is done by Wikipedia is done by free. It's created and the editing is all done for free by volunteers, but they're always in risk of going out of business because no one wants to donate to pay for the immense amount of server space they need. So that's another problem.
This is a big thing with the free software too, is you got to pay for the services you like. You know, if you like a service, donate.
You don't gotta, but you should.
You should donate.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do is to donate to, you know, so keep projects going. Let's hear from the article on Wikipedia. The English adjective free is commonly used in one of two meanings: for zero price, gratis, or with little or no restriction, libre. The ambiguity, what was that, of free can cause issues where...
Is that free government education?
Yeah, is that free government education? That's getting me. Yeah, issues where distinction is important, as it often is dealing with laws concerning the use of information such as copyrights and patents. The term gratis and libre may be used to categorize intellectual property, particularly computer programs, according to the licenses and legal restrictions that cover them. In a free and open source communities, as well as the broader free culture movement, for example, they are used to distinguish freeware, software gratis, and free software, software libre. Richard Stallman summarized the difference in the slogan, "Think free as in free speech, not free beer."
Yep. And there's even a picture of him with another guy with a beer bottle, with a beer stein, demonstrating this, drinking beer at some convention. I think it was the Brussels, the Belgian foot eating contest that he won 3 years in a row. But some picture taken in Brussels at something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It'd be funny if it was one of those beer boots, boot glasses that you see.
So the weird thing about this guy thinking, you know, it was a problem, or is he thought it was weird that I thought he sounded socialist saying, you know, he said free speech should be free. When I proposed this software idea, where the software would be no price to download and use, the source code would be freely available to reuse if you're not a government or government agent, but it would cost a little bit of money to use the service, correct, to be able to use it. And he didn't like that idea. He said, you know, well, free speech should be free. Your cat's having free speech for free. Your but cat sounds like the cartoon cat noise.
So the guy had a complete misunderstanding of the difference between free speech and free beer.
Yeah, like Skype is free to download and use, but it's not free software because you are not, the source code is not available. And even if you reversed engineered it and did something with it, you'd be liable for prosecution.
Yeah. It's freeware, not free software.
Right, right. So there's actually three things here that he wasn't even considering correctly. Like there's free software means free to, you can actually sell free software. There's a lot of free software that's sold. Red Hat's, the Red Hat Linux distribution is free to just download and use on a computer, but you can pay a lot of money and buy the Enterprise Edition, which also comes with what you're largely paying for there, including paying to keep it going and keeping, you know, bug fixing stuff. But they also get tech support with it. But there's three things he's mistaking there. One, you know, it's like saying, oh, Bitcoin, well, if it's free software, it should be free. Give me some. That's kind of what he's saying.
Yeah. It is exactly what he's saying. He's complaining about the miner's fees.
Right.
Yeah, and you gotta have miner's fees, otherwise there would be no miners, and if there's no miners, there's no backbone.
So I'll just go ahead and spill this, because I'm looking for another programmer again. I seem to go through them and want more all the time, just like I do with hosts. But so I have an idea for a cryptocurrency, which would be it would be forked off of Monero for obvious reasons, other than Monero is a very, like, it's not likely to go away and not be supported in a couple of years. Like, they'll keep making the fixes on it. But basically, I want to add a way to pay a small amount of the coin and post, like basically tweet to the blockchain, to where your little post would be publicly viewable to everybody.
Your little posts.
Yeah. And I figured out the way to deal with the problem of how much it would be per post that would solve the problem of Namecoin, of where, you know, you don't set a fee for one thing on a Bitcoin on a cryptocurrency service, because the price can vary widely over the lifetime of the coin. But without doing the really complicated thing I wanted to do for .bip of tying it externally to the price of gold. So, you know, each time you registered a domain name, it would be X amounts of milligrams of gold worth. Here's what I thought of, was like, you could always post something on it for a little bit of fee, but it would be in powers of 10. Like, but for like a 120, 140 character, let's call it, message, would be, you know, a hundredth of a coin. If you made it a little longer, like 200 characters, it would be a tenth of a coin. If you made it 250 characters, it'd be a coin. If you made it 500 characters, it would be 10 coins. And if you made it, you know, 600 characters, it'd be the max, it'd be 10 coin. So no matter what, you could, no matter how much a coin was worth, you could always post something. And I think that's a really novel and workable way to deal with that problem. And I was talking to this guy, and basically, like, you'd be able to read the messages that people post from the Block Explorer, and third parties would be able to make all sorts of services with it. Like, you'd be able to, let's say, so it would be uncensorable free speech, but it could be censorable for your own site. Like, if you wanted to have a mirror of it, like Jim's mirror, and you'd only post the posts on it that deal with a certain topic or have a certain keyword in them. And other people would post things from it, but never post the things that have those keywords. So it would be kind of like configurably censorable to anybody's desire on their own website, but nobody'd be able to censor the whole thing, which I think is a novel and useful way to solve censorship and prevent censorship, but not make it so everyone can see everything. So people can limit what they want people to see on their website. And you'd be able to use hashtags, which would be one of the ways that would be configurable. And the other thing that would be kind of cool about it would be that every post would come with the word allegedly at the end of it automatically. But you'd have but it would cost you 10 words of your word count to not have allegedly. So it would encourage allegedly. Everyone to just have allegedly, which would, I think, would be a novel and interesting way to deal with the problem of somebody trying really hard to shut down the whole thing, you know, as slander, as libel, no, as things you don't like. So there, that's the idea for my coin. I even have a name for it. I even have a website for it. I need a programmer. Let's do it.
Allegedly.
Right, that sounds interesting because of all the stuff that's going on with like Twitter shutting down everybody.
Yeah,
who,
yeah, that's my idea.
You know, his left of Hillary, right of Hillary Clinton. They're really kind of going after and deeming them as like alt-right people.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I need a programmer that can do it. And there's going to be a pre-mine on this. There's going to be a 5% pre-mine, and that's going to take care of like not having to raise money to improve it, and it's going to go straight to the people working on it. And then the money for posting on it, this is the thing I was disputing with him, that he said should be free because freedom, dude. That would go to a charity for the first 3 years. We'd go to Free Ross for the first 3 years, and then after that it would switch over automatically to going to the miners, because after 3 years the mining reward isn't quite as much and there's a lot more people mining it, so you know, hopefully mining it, so they would have a little bump in wanting to keep toward mining it till the third year, because then they'd get a little extra reward. So there,
oh, I like that plan. I like that you'd be put, you know, the first 3 years would go to the Free Ross. That's a good idea.
Yep, and I've talked to them about it. They're cool with taking a charity of a coin. They have a guy that'll do it.
Actually, they have a guy. They got a coin guy.
That'll, yeah, he'll install the wallet, and you know, everybody, basically everybody's tweet or whatever your message, like, will pay to one address, and it'll be that address. But then after, it'll go to the miners. So there's my plan. Programmers, contact me at bipcoin@gmail.com. That's bravoindiapapacoin@gmail.com.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo India Papa Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to bipcoin.org. That's bipcoin.org. Once again, that's bravoindiapapacoin.org.
He's a Freemason.
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, I just outed him.
Hey, you didn't say who you were talking about, but, you know, I mean, masonry should be free, right?
It's in the name,
and yeah, it should work for you for free. Yeah, this kind of all ties into the. It's kind of similar to the argument of.
And Freemasonry is neither gratis nor libre.
How governments have convinced people that healthcare is a right. You know, it's not.
Well, it is.
Well,
it is. Yeah, and let me explain. Healthcare is definitely a right. Yeah, it's a right, just like a right to bear arms doesn't mean that you have someone has to buy you a gun.
That's the problem with the definition. It's the definition. So healthcare means that doctors exist. Having healthcare, having access to healthcare means doctors exist.
Not necessarily doctors. It could be a shaman or someone that has some a nurse
healers, healers of some sort. Effective healers of some sort exist. So the government has very intentionally convinced a lot of people that healthcare means health insurance, not access to, you know, like putting a splint on a broken arm is healthcare. Having it paid for by the government is not healthcare. That's not what healthcare is. A lot of people don't know that.
You have a right to acquire health care. The government should not keep you from being able to acquire health care. But that doesn't mean, if health care is a right and government's going to pay for it, I want government to pay for my guns, too.
Yeah.
And pay for my food. Pay for my food.
How come we're always talking about how health care is a right that everybody should have because without it, people would die in the streets? But I'm like, but wouldn't you die sooner if you didn't have food?
Yeah.
So why don't we socialize that? And they'll be like, oh, no, we can't do that because look at the Soviet Union.
Don't give them any ideas. You're going to give them ideas.
They've got those ideas. You know, Nima Vinati. No, but
they got those ideas and they don't like it. It didn't work in the USSR.
Never do the thing I'm talking about.
You know who wins the most improved player libertarian award is Nima Vedati, because he told me that, and he's the guy that like brought me from minarchism to anarchy in like a couple of weeks, just hanging out with me, you know, every fourth night over at my house working on the Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom movie.
Not a guarantee.
But he said that in high school or in middle school, he thought that the government should buy prostitute stamps for people that couldn't get sex on their own.
I mean, if they're gonna pay for healthcare, why not? That's part of healthcare, isn't it?
Yeah. That was his ninth grade logic.
It's on the hierarchy of needs. You need intimacy and love.
You need intimacy and love. So, government, where's my free prostitutes?
Yeah. So speaking of,
that's payment, prostitutes aren't even free, aren't even gratis or libre too.
And without it, Howell Cantwell find another girlfriend.
Oh. I think he's really gotten to the point where he's lost a lot of his audience to the point where I think that he's really gone. He used to just say shocking things that he kind of believed. I don't know if he believes this or not. He probably does. But I think he's gotten to the point where he has no audience and all he's doing is saying the most insane things he can that'll get him the most, because negative attention spreads faster than positive attention.
Right.
It's easier to get people to hate.
He's a group, a liar, you know, a socialist, a bunch of people to hate stink. You.
He is, and I'll bet they do, and I'll bet he eats them when no one's looking.
He probably does it while he's on his show, you know, under the table. Oh, no,
below the table. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Man, you guys are brutalist.
Yeah. I have to admit that I do take some entertainment when I watch his quote unquote podcast. I guess it's a podcast, the YouTube channel where he's ranting and raving because he's always picking. He's always picking stuff off the table, and I'm always wondering how many of those are crumbs and how many of those are little rocks of meth.
I just wonder when he's going to eat his gun on camera. I think it's going to happen. That's why I tune in live sometimes. Yeah.
Ooh. It was possible. I remember on election night, he thought that Hillary was going to win, and he became unhinged.
He got in trouble with the cops for screaming and almost hitting some woman at the corner store. He went for more beer and started yelling at some Hillary voter and like chasing her around.
Yeah, no, he went into the DNC headquarters in Keene and was freaking out inside there. Yeah. And they had to call the cops to get him to leave.
Well, they called the cops. They didn't have to. Yeah. They could have just shot him and got away with it, probably. he had a gun on him. They could have just shot him and pulled the gun out of his pocket. I'm not saying you should do this, but
when Cantwell relapses, a fairy gets its wings.
Oh, man. Have a good show, guys. I'm going to go do stuff with my coin.
And when we get back, lots of talk about intellectual property.
Bitcoin. That isn't boring. Bitcoin@gmail.com. Thank you.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Broadcasting to the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza, the artificial satellite LibPaired 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire in your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
How you doing, James Weeks?
Relatively okay.
Awesome.
So let's talk about intellectual property. I said we could do a whole show on it. We said we could do a whole show on it. And it's not allegedly. I could do a whole show on it.
Well, we're going to do half a show on it. Well, we kind of did a little bit earlier.
Yeah, but this is kind of more of expanding on it. So I think we need to go back in our time machine, like time travelers, like Volushka was, and go back to the good old days of. Actually, we can go all the way back to the 1700s. And so, copyright started back in the day when there was kind of like this movement of saying, like, no, look, people still need to have monopoly rights over content, and that's what the term they were using. They were calling it monopoly. They wanted a monopoly of these things, and it was hard to pass off to the people who were capitalists at the time, or liberals, not like the liberals we have today. Liberal meant a completely different thing back in those days, and they were basically saying, like, no,
think Bastiat, not I don't know, Feinstein or whoever.
Feinsteining Bull Schumer.
Yeah.
So they wanted a monopoly over these things, and they couldn't pitch this as a free market way of doing things. So what they did is they said, okay, well, it's not monopoly, it's property. You own your content. So it was basically a great PR strategy in order to try to get people to do this. So they passed I think it's called the Copyright Act. I don't remember exactly what the term is, but it's basically the one that's still on the books to this day. There's been some modifications to it. And fast forward to 1999, when Bill Clinton signed the, I guess there was one in the 70s as well, but forget all that. Then we had the Digital Millennium Copyright Act in 1998, actually. Yeah, but there was one good thing about it. I mean, in terms of living in a world with intellectual property, the one good thing that came out of it was it allowed services like YouTube and Google to not get in trouble if someone illegally, quote-unquote illegally, posted content that they didn't, quote-unquote, own onto their services. They wouldn't be held liable. Because before then, if I had a website and I allowed people to post whatever they wanted on there, and someone posted something like, you know, an ebook of a copyrighted work, I would get in trouble as the service provider, not the person who posted it originally. I would be the one responsible for it. What it did is it created this... I think it's called the what was I talking about? I could do a whole show on this thing. It basically created a safe space for content providers so that they wouldn't get in trouble for the actions of users, provided that they complied with the DMCA takedown if one was ever issued, which means that it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is if someone files a DMCA claim against me, I have to take down the infringing content, and then I can figure out whether or not this was illegal or legally posted, and then repost it if I need to. But that thing has to be taken down. But once it goes back up, then it's kind of like in the court of law. But it's the user that's responsible for it, not the service provider. So that was one good thing that came out of it. The better system would be to just get rid of it.
We wouldn't have things like YouTube without that, though.
They would not exist. Yeah. No, like this is what really kind of pushed the internet forward. Because before then, everybody was just getting sued for everything, and it was horrible. And there really wasn't too much of a future for the internet until that came around. So. Now, there's been some modifications to it. Like, for instance, recently there was a thing where if you're downloading stuff from like a BitTorrent site, and the MPAA or the RIAA, which is the Recording and Motion Picture Associations of America, got your internet address, your IP address, and found that you were sharing. Yeah. Yes. Please. But if you were using one of these things to download stuff and share it, then what they could do is they can contact your internet service provider. And if you get 6 strikes, you'll be kicked off of your ISP, and they will not allow you back. But just recently, I think it was just a few days ago, a court struck it down. I think it was a court that struck it down. But so now that's not the case. And now they're kind of scrambling, trying to figure out a new way to get around this thing. But the big problem is, like, why do we have intellectual property to begin with? And people will always say, like, oh, well, if we don't have intellectual property, it'll put a stunt to media. Like, no one would be creating media anymore. Do you believe that?
No, not at all. I mean, I've created media, and none of my media I've created has ever been not free, as in free speech.
Yeah.
You know, none of the media I create is like that. I mean, I guess I don't create as much being, you know, I was a local musician for a while, and all of it was, you know, free, as in free speech. Mm-hmm. You know, we put Creative Commons licenses on the... this was before I even learned about BIPCOT, though. We would have probably BIPCOTed it. But, you know, it was Creative Commons licenses that we'd put on the music. And we'd, you know, you still sell the album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So that, you know, you don't not make money when you do that. It's just allowing people to take your work and build upon it.
Yeah,
and of course I also leaked all the stuff on the torrent sites, and the band kind of.
Yeah, and before the days of the digital stuff, and even before then, if you go back to the original time when they were talking about this stuff, in order for you to copy a book, you would have to either be or hire someone who was literate and would be a scribe, and they would read the book, and they would write their own book by hand. And when the printing press came along, it freaked everybody out, because now you could just print whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, so long as you had the paper and the ink to do it. You could print out stuff en masse, and that freaked a lot of people out.
So they wanted to create an artificial scarcity.
Yeah, because they wanted artificial scarcity. But again, your bad business model is not my problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to support some crazy wackadoo law that's going to throw people in jail because you can't figure out how to make a profit doing what you want to do for a business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to sit here and defend, you know, like, make it illegal to use Facebook to keep to keep MySpace in business. That's ridiculous.
That's exactly what IP is, though. It is. Yeah. It is. It's limiting Facebook to make sure MySpace doesn't go away.
Exactly. And there's lots of great innovative ways that people are trying to monetize the stuff. And, you know, like, and it even goes back to even like this, you know, the 80s when the VHS came into play. The RIAA was freaking out about this thing, or MPAA was not RIAA.
Yeah, the
MPAA was freaking out about this because you could copy movies, like whole movies, and you give them to your friends. Like, that was crazy. And they actually was sitting in front of Congress trying to make it illegal to sell VHS recorders because it was going to threaten their industry. They thought that if VHS videos were to hit the market, that it would kill movies and no one would ever make movies again. Did that happen? No. Because people figured out ways of monetizing it in any way.
Well, that's the same thing with, like, it's like complaining. It's like a bookstore complaining about a library. Is really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and the libraries RIA, were the first pirates.
And the RIAA was freaking out about cassettes because you could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But people still didn't care. People still wanted to have a physical medium. And it was for things like, you know, like dead wax messages, you know, the little messages that are on the inner part of the record, mm-hmm. right before the label. Sometimes it would etch in little messages, or they'd make different color discs, or they would include like more pictures and liner notes and all this stuff. And people want that stuff. People still today buy vinyl. But they don't really buy digital, because you know there's so. I love buying. I'm a collector. I love collecting vinyl, and all that stuff just fascinates me. When I'm listening to music, I like looking at the cover art. I like reading the liner notes, and all this stuff you really can't get with digital. I mean, mm-hmm. you can get like high scans, but it's just not. It's not in my hand. It doesn't feel. It's not that tactile thing that you love so much.
Yeah, you gotta have the disc.
Yeah,
you don't have the liner notes, you don't have the booklets and with the images and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool to have. And so people, even in a world where you can get all like the, for example, the music you want for free, people are still buying records. People are still buying it, even if it's just a CD. You know, so yeah. it's crazy that people would think that. Because even with it not being free, as in free software, you know, people will still both, you know, download it for free pirating or buy it too. A lot of times I'll, you know, I guess I probably shouldn't rat on myself on the radio, but a lot of times I'll download this pirated copy of the album and then like it and buy a physical copy.
Yeah, that's what I used to do way back when, and I still do it today when I go out and buy vinyl. If it's something really good, I want to support the artist, I'll either go see him live or I'll go buy the vinyl. You know, if it's not as good, I just don't listen to it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? And, you know, you and people will say, like, you know, well, how the artist getting compensated? I mean, there's just lots of other ways that people are starting to innovate around this problem. It's a lot more It's a lot easier for me to spend $10 a month for a Google Play access or a Spotify account or something like that, where I can just go on and be like, oh, someone dropped a new album. I can go and listen to it right now, rather mm-hmm. than wait the 10 or 20 minutes that it's going to take for me to find a BitTorrent of the thing, find the right kind of, you know, quality that I want in the right format, and then load it onto my phone and put it in my ear. No, it's right here at my fingertips. And those artists are getting compensated. They're getting a portion of those fees. And they don't need all this stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of artists that are going the route of actually giving away the digital download too. And I've noticed that a lot of artists are kind of evolving away from the dinosaur that is IP, keeping you from being able to just have a digital copy for free.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, they're still not freeing the music.
Yep. And there's lots of other ways people can make money selling what they want without having to resort to archaic 18th century technology arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
sucks. It is terrible.
So I guess we could talk about some of the ways that people are kind of innovating around that and making buying digital goods a reality, even in this world where it only takes you 3 seconds, or maybe longer than that. So it's a little bit of a hassle, but basically making it feasible for someone to buy it rather than go and download it for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be that a digital form of dead wax. That's a lot of things that people were complaining. At least artists were complaining. Like, we need to think of something. We need to be innovative. And I've heard some things, and one of them was the Tatiana coin. I guess she's pushing that again, which is an interesting concept, because let's say that you buy an album digitally from like iTunes or something.
Yeah.
What you get is basically like a very small picture of the album cover and the album on MP3, which is kind of a degraded quality. But from what I understand, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but from what I understand with Tatiana coin, if you use this particular kind of alternate coin, it's not really an altcoin. Well, it is an altcoin.
It isn't,
really.
Yeah, it's an altcoin. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of its own thing.
Yeah, but it's really its own thing. It's the first artist altcoin.
Yeah. And from what I understand, if, like, let's say that I buy an album using the Tatiana coin rather than paying for it with PayPal on iTunes, mm-hmm. is that you get access to certain kind of services that you wouldn't get if you were to buy it anywhere else with anything else. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that if I buy a particular album, like, let's say you and I buy this album, the same album, and while we're listening to it, we can go into this chat room that's only for people who had purchased this album with that thing, and talk to other people who are currently listening to that album, and kind of say like, oh yeah, that track 12, that was absolutely amazing. And people are like, yeah, did you hear that bass? Like, no, I'm going to go back and listen to it again. And that's kind of a community that you can build on that. And that's a good example of how, like, a lot of artists are getting around this sort of needing a digital dead wax.
Mm-hmm. It is a digital dead wax is what it is.
Yeah. And like other things, like, you know, you can have access to exclusive content, interactive content, get to meet or agree, have like hangouts with artists, all sorts of things that people are coming up with now. And I'm kind of hopeful for what's been going on with the digital realm. And again, none of this has to do with forcing anybody into a cage just because, or charging little mothers because their six-year-old downloaded an Adele album.
See, that's the big thing about IP that really drives me crazy is the lawsuits that were there. I remember a few years ago when they were really going hard on suing people, there was like grandparents being sued because their grandchildren downloaded something on their grandparents' network. You know, and now they're being sued for a bunch of money. Oh, because their grandkid
that'll financially ruin them.
They're being financially ruined because their grandkid, their five year old grandkid decided to hit download on something.
Yeah,
you know, while on their network. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and why go through all that hassle of, like, you're basically attacking your fans. I mean, I know the artists themselves are not engaged in this. Some of them kind of were at the beginning, like, what was it, Metallica?
Oh, Metallica.
Metallica, Dr. Dre was doing it as well. And, you know, there's a lot of artists who were trying to do that for a while, and they kind of gave up and are kind of going into the new fold. They're going into the new era. They're not thrashing
around. I'll never forgive Metallica, though.
Yeah.
No.
They're new. They're...
No, I'll never forget them.
This was also the time they were getting into butt rock. Yeah. Or they invented butt rock. So they did two things that were a blight, but they're kind of making up for it. They're not doing that sort of thing anymore.
Still, never forgive. Yeah. Never forget.
James's Legion.
Yeah, I'm not going to ever listen to them. I thumbs down them on Pandora. Get that out of here. I will say that
their new album was fairly tasty. Fairly tasty. Not as good as the older stuff, but it's kind of, they're getting back into the thrash rock. But either way,
I should just seed all their albums and never listen to it just to spite it. Well, now watch me get sued just for saying that.
That's hilarious.
But anyways, there's another portion of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, which I think this is what's synonymous what the DMCA is. I mean, the DMCA is like four different titles, but there's only like one title that anybody ever talks about, and that's the whole safe harbor part and the DMCA takedowns. And there's a lot of terrible stuff that happens with that. And a lot of it has nothing to do with copyright. It's just an abuse of a government gun just to shut people up. And we'll talk about that when we get back, I guess.
Meow. 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 Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Funny that when people that are supposedly against supposedly.
Sorry. Pet peeve. Go ahead.
Hey, I've only ever read it. Regardless. If, you know, supposedly against IP, take a. DMCA claims against people on YouTube too. That cracks me up.
Yeah. So the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, had a provision in there. I don't remember what title it was, but I think it was Title II, which says that service providers are not held liable for content that they post online, so long as they follow any time that there is a DMCA takedown notice to take down content which is alleged to be infringing, whether or not they think it's infringing or not. So if I'm YouTube and you post a video of, you know, like the whole video movie of Forrest Gump, and Paramount Pictures comes and sends me a DMCA takedown notice, I have to follow it whether or not I think it's actually the movie or not. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to post a video of you dancing on TV and you own the copyright, you know, in your man thong, and mm-hmm. posted that on there, and you were the copyright holder for that content, and Paramount comes and says, hey, that's infringing on our Forrest Gump movie, you have to take it down. YouTube has to, by law, comply with that takedown notice. Mm-hmm. Even though it's clearly wrong.
it's censorship.
Yeah. That's, and people have been doing that. That's been kind of the staple of YouTube for a while, is that people, like, originally were you, like, if I made a video response, like, you make a video and you say something I don't agree with, and I make a video that's using fair use, which fair use means that you are taking content from somebody else, dicing it up, and using it as commentary, which is legal under copyright law, as long as it's for certain provisions, and that's a whole other topic.
No. But for I just want to go into a little bit on what fair use is before we continue.
Okay.
You know, fair use is the it's not really like, it's a defense is what it is. It's a defense against being sued. It's not like a boom, you got it. But without fair use, you know, things like the news, Wouldn't exist. Things like parody
parody exist. Its own thing. Parody is its own thing.
Well, parody is covered under fair use. That's what allows for parody is fair use. Parody education is covered under fair use. There's actually a really great YouTube video that was put out that explains fair use. So for all the people listening at home, if you go on YouTube and you look up the fair use tale,
they cut up
Disney movies and explained fair use using cut up Disney movies.
Yes.
Which is a great both explanation and demonstration of fair use, as that was for educational purposes.
Yeah, so it's transformative. It doesn't, and it also does not take away from the content owner's ability to make profit. Like, no one's going to watch that instead of watching Aladdin because it's not a substitute for watching it.
Mm-hmm. So you're able to use it for educational purposes, but things without the fair use, you wouldn't have things like the news, you wouldn't have things like parody, you wouldn't have things like education, because nothing could be used. Like, literally nothing could be used for anything.
Unless they wanted to pay for licensing rights.
So you need to so that just goes to demonstrate, you know, how terrible IP is, that you need to have an exception for it put in place in order to be able to even do the news or to educate people on stuff, to be able to do parody of stuff. You need to have an exemption for it, which proves it's not legitimate property, because legitimate property doesn't have an exception. nor does it have a time period where it's valid.
Yeah. You have a right to your computer, except when I really needed to show somebody something cool.
That's not how property works, you know?
Yeah.
Just because you need to check the time doesn't mean you can take my phone from me, because it's my property. You know, that's how property works. It's mine.
It's fair use.
You know, there's no fair use on property. You know? So it really shows that it's not legitimate property at all, because there is this exception.
Yeah. But back in the day, people were using kind of fair use, like things that were used in fair use in order to take down people who were criticizing them. So if you made a video on YouTube that you said something that I don't agree with, and I respond to you saying, like, okay, here's a clip of James Weeks saying something that I disagree with, and then I interject and say, see how he said that. I put it in context so you can understand what he was saying. Now here's my rebuttal to that thing, and let's play another clip from that video where he says something that I disagree with, and respond to that afterwards. People were using the DMCA to take those things down because they weren't comfortable with people making criticisms, valid or invalid. People weren't comfortable making criticisms. Now, it does not matter. Your criticisms can be completely harebrained, nonsensical, or doesn't even have to cover the topic. Actually, if I could show a clip and say, like, well, James is dumb because he has like a dumb beard and I don't like beards, so he's wrong.
Hey, it wouldn't matter now.
This is all in theory. This is all theory, right? Let's leave it theoretically. In real life, this would not happen. No, I'm not hating on the beard, but that would still be covered under fair use. It doesn't actually matter if your criticism is valid. What matters is that it is criticism, it's transformative, and that it's not, there's a couple other rules, but those are the big ones. But now then people were starting to go, like, well, now people are making their own content, not using anything in fair use or anything at all, just a guy responding to someone making a video, not using any of that clip, and then taking down that video under the DMCA system, or using the DMCA system because, you know, someone posted a video and I don't particularly like what this person is doing, like I don't agree with them, or I think it's offensive, which is a violation of the law. You're actually committing perjury by doing it, but people do it all the time and they get away with it all the time, and it's been a big problem for YouTube, and it's been plaguing YouTube to the point where there's a lot of people who won't even trust going on YouTube, going on the platform at all, because they're afraid that if they build this kind of community with a bunch of people, you know, and they're making money from ad revenue and everything, that someone would just take down their whole entire channel just because of some bogus copyrights claim, which we have seen before.
Yeah, you know, it happens all the time.
And we've seen it happen with people who are enemies of intellectual property, like, not naming any names, Stefan Molyneux took down an entire YouTube channel of a YouTuber who was critical of him. And, you know, like, and he thought that nothing would ever come of it. Unfortunately for him, he was sued and he had to issue a public apology over it. But this sort of thing happens all the time, and people get away with it all the time, and no one ever says anything about, well, people say anything about it, but, you know, like, there wasn't not a lot being said about it at the time. There is now, which is great, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's too little too late at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to really understand how terrible this is. I mean, if you take intellectual property and you actually applied it like actual property, this would mean that to build a car, for an example, this is just a giant example here. To build a car, you would need to track down the family members of the person who invented the wheel and pay them. You know, you would need to track down the person who invented glass, their family yeah. members, and pay them. You know, you would need to track down the person who invented steel and pay them.
Yeah.
You know, all these, the person who invented a hinge, you'd have to track down their family member and pay them. But these things are not, it's not real property. It doesn't carry on, you know, and the fact that it doesn't is really an example of, it's not really real property. It's yeah. something fake. It's something artificial. Because property rights, property is not something that you have for a term of years and then boom, now you don't. And now it's open for the public. That's not how property works. You know, if you build a house, you don't get to live in it for, I don't know, what is the patent now? It's I can't remember how many years of patents for now. Off the top of my head, was it like 7 years or 10 years or something like that?
I think they determine it after you die, a certain amount of years.
Well, that's copyright. Copyright is what, 70 years after death?
Yeah. But I think that's the same thing.
So will you?
Patents are term.
No, I think patents have a term that's shorter. Yeah. Mainly because if patent terms were longer, we'd have absolutely no innovation whatsoever.
Yeah.
They need to be much, much shorter, in fact, not existent. Because there's no innovation with patents. No one can build upon the works of others, which is how all great things come about, is from building upon others' works. Everything is building upon someone else's work. Every invention is someone improved something else that already existed. You know? someone invented, it's like saying you can't build any wheels but stone wheels.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why we have these awesome, you know, rubber wheels is because people improved upon wheels until we have wheels that are really nice. And that's why we have, you know, the low profile tires now, because, you know, we're able, you know, I mean, they look sleek and they're actually really, they're better for handling though. They're better for handling. They improve your handling to have the low profile tires, because there's not as much give when you hit corners fast. Yeah. So, you know, you have this innovation that comes about because people are building upon the works of others.
Yeah. And the worst part about all of these intellectual property laws, I mean, was it trade secrets, patents, and copyright law? The worst of those three would definitely be patents, because there's a thing called patent trolls, and I'm sure people have heard the term and not really understood what patent trolls are, which is patent trolls are people who own patents. They'll either buy them from other people or gain them from deceased family members or whatever. And what they will do is they will find tedious kind of links to other things that exist and say that that's infringing upon my patent, and then go down to a certain, you know, Texas longhouse in the middle of nowhere in order to convince this judge that's really kind of lenient on patent trolls, and try to convince them that violates their patent. The biggest one would be the podcast. That was just recently kind of just died down because of Adam Carolla. But there was a guy who had this patent who alleges that this patent covers podcasting, which it didn't. And he was going around to the big podcasters at the time and saying, "You're violating my patent. Pay me a bunch of money or I'll see you in court." And a lot of people were like, "Well, I can't afford to see you in court, so I'll just pay off the patent." But luckily, Adam Carolla fought it. He fought the law, and the law lost. And so now people are able to podcast. So
thank you for your service, Adam Carolla.
But that was a freak. That was a freak occurrence. And the majority of the stories are much worse. More when we get back.
You're You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Meow.
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 They get the intelligence.
So what's some redemption with copyright? Patents,
trade
secrets.
There is none.
Well, I mean, trade secrets. Trade secrets are the ones that don't bother me the most because you don't really need those. You don't really need to use those. You could just have people kind of sign a contract saying, hey, if you're going to work for me, here's this non-disclosure agreement that you basically agree to contractually that says that, hey, as long as you're working here, you can't share any of our ideas, and you can't do so for a certain amount of years after you leave. That solves all the problems with all these things.
I don't really agree with that, though. I think that's not really an enforceable contract. The enforceability of such a contract is not...
It's a lot more enforceable than the trade secrets, that's for sure.
But the only way, really, to keep a secret is to keep it in your head. If you want a secret, don't tell anybody. That's why a lot of companies will, like, compartmentalize who knows what secret.
Two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, they'll have, like, one person have half. Like, for example, one person will have half of the ingredients list and the other person will know half of the ingredients list. You know, that way there's no one person that knows everything, and that's how you keep a trade secret.
Yeah. So there's things you can work around with that, and that's some good redemption. I do like what Tatiana Coin is doing. I hope there's a whole lot more that comes down the pike with that sort of thing, because there really needs to be a digital dead wax where something that will encourage people to buy digital content over downloading it or streaming it from an online service or something like that. Which, you know, something, you know, like a community, like, you know, like a little community, like you have this album, come hang out in a chat room. Those kind of ideas will definitely help. And as far as patents, just get rid of them.
Yeah.
they're just a nightmare all around.
They are literally the worst.
Yeah. And on top of it, people still end up making those things anyway. Like, Android phones still exist, even though the iPhone patent was a thing. And like, they're virtually the same thing. All they did was just fight it out in court forever, and nothing ever became of it.
Well, here's the big thing with patents. Here's the big thing with patents. You know, patents, if you look around the world, there's different patent laws all over the world. And, for example, in the medical, this is a big one that really drives me crazy about patent. If you look at the medical industry, and you look at the patents on the prescription drugs, and you have such a horrible... Just the prices are crazy. So when all these people are talking about we need medical reform because all the drugs are so expensive, it's because of patents. If you look at countries like India, where they can't patent a process, they can patent the ingredients, but they can't patent how they put them together. Or no, it's the other way around. Other way around. Not backwards. Backwards. Fake news. They can't patent the ingredients. They can only patent the process and how they combine them. So you're able to, you have a thriving generic market that keeps prices of prescription drugs low to where, for example, the drug that that AIDS medication that everyone probably remembers, I'm not sure if everyone does, the Martin Shkreli bought a company and was, you know, jacked the prices up. But if you look to India, they had that same drug for 2 cents a pill. You know, the exact same drug, but it was 2 cents a pill, you know, because they have a thriving market in prescription drugs because of the way that their patent laws are set up. And it's a little bit better. It's still not ideal, but it's a little bit better.
Yeah, and it keeps people, someone like you or me, who could hire a bunch of scientists and come up with some new innovative drugs, from being entered into the market. Because it costs billions of dollars to go through the FDA process of filing paperwork, having them clinically trial these things for so many years. And for what? Like, so let's say that there's a drug that's going to cure AIDS. Someone's going to die in a month because they're gonna, you know, because they don't have access to a particular drug. Well, we can't let them have this drug because it might hurt them. Who cares? They're gonna die in a month anyway without it. Might as well let them try it, you know?
Yep.
And then, what's the worst that can happen? Yep, they could die?
Yeah.
They're going to anyway.
Yeah, the drug. Our drug market in America is really, really messed up.
Yeah.
Really messed up.
Trump says he's going to do something about it, but I'm not holding my breath.
No, I highly doubt he's actually going to do the right thing about it, if anything. He really needs to just abolish patents. You want to solve the drug problem in America? Abolish patents.
Do copyright while you're at it.
Yep.
Trade secrets? I don't care.
Trademarks, though. Get rid of those.
Yeah. Man, it's great doing a show with you.
Wow. Until next time.
And speaking of trademark infringement, I'm James Weeks II now.
Oh, jeez, oh, Pete.